It was early when I found the note. I was in my dressing gown, walking through the lounge on my way to get some cereal, when I saw it. A scruffy yellow post-it, lying on the mat by the front door. Morning sunlight streamed through the window and framed it in a golden rectangle. Before I'd even read the message, I could tell by the messy handwriting that it was from Toby. "Jamie, come to the old sawmill as soon as you get this. It's urgent. Toby." I read the note twice, then stuffed it in my pocket and frowned. Toby's my best friend in our village, and we see each other almost every day, school and at weekends. But he was never normally up this early, and he'd never left me a note before. Normally, on the rare occasions he was up before me, I'd wake to the sound of him throwing stones at my bedroom window from the garden. I'd part the curtains, and there he'd be, a curly-haired teenager with a big grin on his face, squinting at me through the morning sunlight. But this was new. It wasn't like Toby either. I paused for a moment, listening. The house was silent around me. It was a Saturday, which meant Mum and Dad were still upstairs asleep, lying in. Normally, I'd have a line too. But I'd woken, sweating from a nightmare I could no longer remember. Hadn't been able to get back to sleep. So, now, here I was. My hair was a mess, and my eyes still crusted, staring down at the note, feeling a worm of anxiety in my stomach that I couldn't place. I left the house 15 minutes later, skipped breakfast in the end. I tried Toby's mobile a couple of times first, but when it kept going to voicemail, my impatience got the better of me. I chucked on some clothes and left through the front door, closing it quietly behind me. If Mum or Dad woke up, they wouldn't care that I was off out so early, but they would want to know where I was going. Then I'd have to explain the note, and it'd be a whole thing. Much easier to slip away unnoticed. Winter sunlight made me squint as I made my way down the drive. My footsteps crunched over gravel. I creaked the front gate open, wincing at the sound it made. And as I reached the main village road, I glanced instinctively to my right, in the direction of Toby's house. I frowned. Toby's house is a little way down from mine, on the opposite side of the road, an old brick cottage like ours. Normally, when I look down there, I can see two cars parked outside, Toby's dad's Land Rover and his mum's Peugeot. But today, there were three vehicles, and the third was a police car. "What do you reckon that's about then?" The voice made me jump. I spun around and saw our next door neighbour, Mr. Willows, leaning over his fence, watching me. Mr. Willows is a bit odd, but he's okay. He's this old guy who lives on his own and spends most of his time out in the garden, smoking. Always wears a suit. Today, he had a black blazer and a pink tie on, as though he was off to a wedding. His grey hair spilled over his forehead, which was wrinkled into a frown as he stared at me. I stared back as he stretched out his hand and thumbed the end of his cigarette, sprinkling ash onto the tarmac. I opened my mouth to say something, but Mr. Willow spoke again before I could. "You're up early, Jamie. You have to find your mate." "Yeah, I'm going to meet him now. You didn't see him earlier, did you?" Mr. Willows was taking another drag on his cigarette, but now he broke off coughing. He held it away from his face and stared at it, his frown deepening into a scowl. "Last time I buy this crap. They were out of my brand at the co-op, but I'd rather go without a smoke than this crap." He flicked the cigarette. I watched it sail from his hand and land on the road. The glowing tip trailed smoke through the air. "Nah, I haven't seen your friend in a while. You have to call him now, are you?" "No, I'm going to meet him nearby. He left a note for me this morning." Mr. Willows had been half turned away from me, as if he was getting ready to go inside. But now he paused and looked back. The flicker of some emotion I couldn't place passed behind his eyes. "Left you a note, did he?" "Yeah, I'd better go find out what he wants. I normally didn't mind talking to Mr. Willows, but this conversation was starting to drag. I began walking down the road to the left, past Mr. Willows' fence, in the direction of the little footpath that would lead me to the old sawmill. But as I drew level with the place he was standing, I felt his eyes on me again. I turned towards him and forced a smile onto my face. "I'll see you later, Mr. Willows. Have a good day." For a second, that same emotion I'd seen before, something almost like confusion, passed the old man's face. But a moment after that, it was gone again. He nodded and tipped me a wave. "Old bugger's probably losing it," I thought to myself, as I continued down the road. I glanced back once when I was halfway to the gate that would lead me to the footpath. Mr. Willows still hadn't gone back inside. He was standing in the same place by the fence, fiddling with the lapel of his blazer, staring at me. The old sawmill. Why the hell did Toby want to meet there? As I hurried along the footpath, green light flickering through the tall hedgerows on either side of me, I racked my brain. The thing was, we'd already explored the sawmill to death. We'd done it a couple of years back. The place had been a great find at first, a dilapidated old barn that looked like something from a horror film. A ruined building which sat in the middle of a wooded clearing, smack bang between two fields. It was spooky and remote, and we'd had a great time climbing the rafters and exploring every dark corner there was to explore. But that had all been several years ago. We were older now. We'd already done the sawmill to death. As I reached a little stream that bisected the footpath, I glanced up at the sky. Thick, black clouds were gathering overhead. I wasn't far from the sawmill now, and it looked like that might be a good thing. Rain was coming. "Toby? Toby?" My voice echoed in the silence of the clearing. I shivered. The rain clouds were directly overhead now, blocking out the sunlight, turning the clearing into a patchwork quilt of greys and dark greens. The sawmill reared up in front of me, all splintered rafters and chipped brick. An old red door was set into the side of the building, the paint pink faded and flaking off in chunks. Nobody had used it in years though, and that included me and Toby. We didn't need to. The entire front end of the building was missing, gaping open like a wound, exposed to the elements. From where I was standing, I could just see inside. Dusty concrete, old wood, and a scattering of rusted, bramble-chocked tools. No sign of Toby anywhere. "Toby, where are you, mate?" I took a few steps forwards, towards the open end of the building. Shivered again. Wind rushed through the trees at the edge of the clearing, making the leaves whisper. I stared at the shadows inside the sawmill, and felt that worm of anxiety in my stomach again. Those shadows looked too dense somehow. It was like peering into a cave. Was it possible Toby was hiding somewhere in there, crouched in the darkness, waiting to jump out at me? It wouldn't have been entirely out of character. But then again what? Why are you acting like some scared little child? As the thought was running through my head, I felt the first drop of rain on my skin. That did it. I shoved my nerves to one side and strode forwards, covered the remaining distance between myself and the sawmill in a few quick steps. When I'd reached the ruined opening of the building, I paused again, peering into the shadows. "Toby, you in there?" I took another step. "Toby, this isn't funny, mate. If this is all some kind of wind-up and you got me out here for nothing, I'm not going to be happy." I took another step and felt my foot crunch broken glass. The sound made me wince. All around the clearing, the wind suddenly picked up. Tree branches crashed against each other, leaves shook, the rain began to fall more steadily, the droplets hitting the clearing in a constant patter. I took another step forwards, The shadows were all around me now. The inside of the sawmill smelled like dust and mold. I fumbled in my pocket for my phone, intending to use the little torch function. But as I was pulling it out, I caught a shape from the corner of my eye. I looked to my left and bit back a scream. Toby stood in the shadows. He was over by the left-hand wall of the sawmill, standing with his back to the brick, facing me. I couldn't see his features in the gloom, but I could just make out his thick mop of hair. "Jesus Christ, Toby!" I could feel my heartbeat hammering in my chest. My skin, which had been cold a moment ago, suddenly felt too hot. "You scared the hell out of me!" Toby stood against the wall, unmoving. "What the hell are you doing out here? Is this a wind-up?" Toby didn't say anything. "Toby, what the hell, mate? This isn't funny." Toby still didn't speak. Instead, he slowly lifted his left arm, held it out away from his body, pointing. I followed his finger. There was something in the shadows, near where Toby stood, lying coiled in the darkness next to a pile of bricks. "What the hell?" Toby didn't say anything, just kept pointing. Rain pounded down harder outside the sawmill. The wind howled. I had my phone out of my pocket now, and I thumbed on the little torch. The light spilled out and lit up the shadowy floor. A green tie. That's what Toby was pointing at. It lay coiled next to the bricks in a little heap on the concrete floor. I stepped closer. "Toby, what?" But I stopped talking when I got a better look at it. When I saw what was on it, I bent down and picked up the tie. It would have looked shiny and new if it wasn't for the rust-colored blotches darkening the green, the messy, browning stains that covered it. Those marks weren't just on the tie either, I saw now. The floor below me had been stained the same color. There were patches of the stuff all over the dusty concrete. They looked like... Toby, what the hell is this? I moved the torch away from the stains and flashed it at the spot Toby had been standing, and my light struck dusty brick. I felt fear and confusion surge through me in a wave. Toby was gone. "Toby? Toby?" The wind drowned out my cries. It roared around the old sawmill, making the wooden beams creak. Rain hammered down outside. Rain. And something else. A sound I could only just make out, half muffled as it was beneath the crash of raindrops. The steady, pounding thump of footsteps. "Toby? Toby!" I moved towards the entrance of the sawmill, still holding the stained tie in one hand. There was no sign of Toby anywhere. I looked out at the rain, hammering through the clearing in thick sheets. Wind buffeted the half-obscure tree line. The sawmill creaked and groaned. I turned to my left, squinting my eyes as I scanned the clearing. And then, I heard the footsteps again. They were over to my right, growing louder as they pounded closer and closer to the sawmill. I turned in their direction, my mouth open to yell for Toby. But the shout died in my throat as a figure emerged from the rain. Mr. Willows, still wearing the suit he'd been in earlier, only now the thing looked wrecked. His pink tie was skewed, his soaked shirt sticking to his chest. His grey hair was sodden, plastered to the skin of his forehead in dark strands. His eyes were wide in his face. He'd been running, one hand pressed to his chest. But as soon as he saw me, he slowed down. He came to a stop just inside the shelter of the sawmill, a few feet away from me, put his hands on his knees and pulled in deep breaths. "Mr. Willows? Mr. Willows, what happened? Are you okay?" I stuffed my phone in my pocket and hurried over to him, putting my free hand on his shoulder. My mind was whirling with questions, but I couldn't think which to ask first. Fear swirled in my stomach, fueled by the only explanation I could think of for Mr. Willow's sudden arrival. Either something had happened to my parents, or something had happened to Toby's. Mr. Willow seen me heading in this direction and followed me. That had to be it. He'd come to tell us. My mind conjured an image of the police car I'd seen outside of Toby's house earlier, and I bit my lip. Mr. Willows, what's happened? Is everyone okay? After a few more seconds, Mr. Willows reached up and put his hand on my shoulder for support. Stood up straight. His face was red, and his breathing was still heavy, but he sounded better than he had a moment ago. His wide eyes scanned the shadowy interior of the sawmill, finally resting on my face. Is it just you here? Yeah, it is. I mean, no, Toby was here too, but I don't know where he's gone and... What's that mean? Mr. Willow's voice cut through me, sharp and sudden. What's that mean he was here? His bony hand still gripped my shoulder. Mr. Willow stared into my face. And then, something else caught his eye. He glanced down, and I saw his expression change. Where the hell did you get that? I followed his gaze and saw the green tie, still clutched in my free hand. I stared down at it stupidly. Outside the sawmill, the wind gusted. The building around us shook and creaked, and it was as I looked back up at Mr. Willows that he moved his free hand, quick and agile as a man half his age, and fastened around my throat. Within seconds, both his hands were on my neck, squeezing. I choked in a half breath and stumbled backwards. My heel struck something on the concrete floor, and I went down, falling hard on my back. Mr. Willows came down on top of me. I felt pain lance through my back, felt the breath whoosh out of me like air from a balloon. Mr. Willow's face was inches from mine now, red and wrinkled, teeth gritted like a dog. His grip around my neck was impossibly strong, a rigid hand of bone. I reached up my hands to grab his arms and tried to break his hold on me, but I couldn't do it. My hands were suddenly too weak. My head felt thick and heavy, and my vision filled with blotches that were the colour of red stains on concrete. When Mr. Willow spoke to me, he sounded like he was about to cry. I didn't mean it, Jamie. I swear I didn't. I liked you boys, you know that. He tightened his grip. But I can't let you tell. My vision wavered. Everything was shades of brown and grey. I saw Mr. Willow's face, red and panting above mine. I saw the cobweb-strewn beams in the sawmill's roof. I saw the rain lashing down against the clearing outside the bluey-black curtains. And finally, before my eyes drifted shut, I saw Toby. I saw Toby looming over Mr. Willows, taller than I'd ever seen him before. I saw Toby, his face a shadowy blank beneath his dark curls, reaching out a hand towards the man, choking the air out of me. The last thing I heard before I lost consciousness was the sound of screaming. I've been in counselling for the past few weeks. Ever since I got out of hospital, I have bruising around my throat, which is still pretty sore, but the doctors say it'll heal soon. It's my mind that might take longer. My parents found me that Saturday morning when they woke up, passed out in our driveway, covered in mud, soaked through and unconscious, half dead. Somehow, after coming round in the sawmill, I'd managed to half stumble, half crawl my way back home. With the injuries I had, nobody can believe I managed to make it on my own. What they don't know is that I wasn't. I don't remember much of that journey back. It's all a blur of pain and numbness and shadows. But I do remember Toby. I remember him by my side the whole way, helping me along encouraging me to get back up whenever I fell face down in the mud. Sometimes I thought I heard his voice clearly, and other times it seemed to blend and fade with the wind. But it was always there. It didn't take them long to find his body. Toby had been buried in a shallow grave, somewhere among the trees that ran around the edge of the clearing, within about 100 meters of the sawmill. Within about 100 meters of the spot where Mr. Willows tried to strangle me. The same spot the police found him, after they came to our house and I wrote the word sawmill on a notepad with a shaking hand. When his cause of death came back, they said it was a heart attack that killed him, that the strain of running and then trying to choke me must have caused something in his chest to rupture. I'm the only one that knows better. I've seen Toby once since I got out of the hospital. Just once. It was a Saturday morning, and it was early. I'd had trouble sleeping. I woke up from whatever nightmare I'd been having in a sweat. My duvet twisted up around me, and before my eyes were even fully open, I heard it. Tap, tap, tap. It could have been a bird outside, or a distant neighbor working in the garden, or it could have been the sound of small stones striking a window. I swung my legs out of bed and got up to check. I didn't see Toby at first. When I parted the curtains, the sunlight was so strong it made me squint. It poured into the garden like liquid gold, bathing the grass in its yellow glow. Toby stood in the center of that glow. When my eyes finally adjusted, I saw him. His form wavered in the morning sun, half lost in the light, the opposite of a shadow. But it was definitely Toby, smiling up at me, standing in the same spot he always used to stand whenever he came to call for me. There were so many things I could have said to him then, so many things I wanted to say. But in the end, I settled for a smile. It was all I had time for. As I stared down into the garden, the morning shifted, the sky altered, and Toby was gone as quickly as he'd come. A curly-haired boy, my best friend, fading in a patch of sunlight.